Hello and welcome to Deja Movie. This is Matt, joined here by my co-host Angel. Say hello to our listeners, my dear friend.
Hello, listeners.
My dear friend, today on this series premiere episode of Deja Movie, we are looking at the classic horror comedy, That Lucky Charm in the Rough, the one, the only, Leprechaun. However, before we don our buckled shoes and talk in borderline offensive Irish accents, let us first set up what the goal of the show exactly is. Movies, like all forms of entertainment, can have a rabid fan base. People see themselves in certain characters. Some even use fictional characters as extensions of themselves to help understand and explore the very real world we live in. Moreover, people find themselves attached and invested in stories and in some instances, entire worlds. Angel, would you agree with the statement that movies are an intimate experience?
Yeah, you and your friends can all watch the same movie at the same time, but not one experience will be the same.
That's very true. You can interpret something completely differently than the person sitting next to you.
Yeah.
And then the third person sitting next to them falls asleep. So they didn't experience it at all.
They experienced something else.
Slumber. What movie or series do you see yourself most attached to?
I'm going to have to say Predator, actually.
I was going to guess Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh.
Predator?
The thing with Nightmare is that it's done. Nobody's really doing anything with that one. I mean, they tried, but I just ignore that. But with Predator, I've always, like, every new Predator movie that comes out, I'm, like, hoping, will it match the original? Will it be the one true? And it's like, oh, no.
And every time you get more and more disappointed.
Yes. Except for Prey.
And then they keep doing Aliens versus Predator, and then those get significantly worse, too.
Yep,
I don't know why. Like all things that pass with time, however, our memories tend to forget the fine details, the plot points, the themes, the dialogue, characters, and in some instances, if we have even seen a specific movie before. Our memories, no matter how intimate or important we may consider them, can still be corrupted with time. In this show, we will be revisiting movies to see exactly what we remember, or I think in most cases, what we think we remember. And Leprechaun may be a perfect example of that, as we shall see here. It's also possible, however, that during the span of this show, we may find out if a movie was just best left as a memory. Like Alien vs. Predator, like part 6. Reboot number 2. As we explore these movies, we will also investigate the history of these films, as creating movies is such a Herculean task to complete. It's amazing any good ones are even made. Pre-production, script writing, casting, it is all on the table to be discussed in this show. So with that framework put in place, let's begin our look at that four-leaf clover of horror films, Leprechaun. Believe it or not, Angel, believe it. I don't know if you can believe this, believe it or not. Some people have not seen Leprechaun. Could you give our listeners that have not, or maybe the ones that, like us, probably didn't remember too much, a quick explanation of the movie? So quick that you can't use more than 280 characters to describe the movie.
Certainly. That's not part of the 280 characters, by the way.
I thought you were like from the 1920s. Certainly.
Why, certainly. So here's my pitch. A devious leprechaun has his gold stolen, and he attempts to get it back with deadly consequences.
Hijinks ensue. That's it. That's pretty much the movie.
Yep. The end.
Show's over. Until next time. So I ask you, Angel, do you recall the first time that you saw Leprechaun, and do you have any special attachment to it or even the franchise as a whole?
Yes, I remember the first time we saw the movie was It wasn't in the theaters. It was probably shortly after, though, because I believe this is the part I don't remember. I was with my family and we were somewhere. I don't know where. Somebody else's house, not my family's or anybody's like that. They had rented two VHSs, or maybe they owned them. I'm not sure. And we were going to watch these movies. One of them was Dolly Dearest, which is a Chucky ripoff.
Oh, I was thinking it was like Dolly Parton.
No, the doll is female.
Oh, I mean, completely different than Chucky. I mean, so different.
And then the other one was Leprechaun. We watched both. It was great. The funny thing is, the more I think about it, the more I'm like, I've only actually watched Leprechaun that one time.
No, oh, really?
Yeah.
And you were probably 8?
Yeah, most likely.
Maybe younger? Maybe like between 6 and 8, I would say.
Yeah, let's say that.
Maybe like 22? I mean... between the age of 4 and 30.
But yeah, it was...
And that's the only time you've seen it? You haven't seen it like in passing on Sci-Fi Channel or anything like that?
No. The ones that I have seen like on TV were the sequels.
The sequels. I'm in the same boat. I think I only saw the original once, but the sequels I saw on TV a lot, like bits and pieces of through the years. I don't know why the first one was just like, did it have higher rights to play that they didn't want to pay?
You know, they every time Jennifer Aniston's face is on screen, she gets money, so.
Yep, they want to pay that money. I remember as a child that I would avoid this movie. I remember seeing it like at the store, like on the wall to rent. So for whatever reason, I had it in my mind that it was a terribly frightening movie and I should stay away from it. So I don't believe I actually saw it until I was in high school, just seeing it on TV. I have very fond memories of this movie, though, but really of the franchise in whole, mainly because of Warwick Davis and my genuine love for him. Even as a child, I was like, I like this guy. And he's great. And to quote him as Willow, as he sees Mad Mardigan finally sword fight, you are great, is what he says. And that was what Warwick Davis is. He is great. Since the crux of this show is seeing how wildly we are probably misremembering everything. So let's get into it, Angel. Prior to watching this movie, we each wrote down anything we could remember about this film. What is it that you remember?
As I started writing down what I remembered before I watched the movie a second time, I was at first, like, I remember bits and pieces. And once I started writing everything down, I started getting more and more images coming to my mind as if I was possessed by the leprechaun himself.
You're like an oracle just writing down images.
I was so sure of everything that I wrote down. And to my disappointment, when I watched the movie again, I was like, wait. So
I was very confident of the things that I wrote down. And I was like, oh... Oh no.
So this is what I wrote down. Leprechaun starring Warwick Davis, Jennifer Aniston, and Francis Buxton from Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Not his real name. Mark Holton. And I'm going to refer to him as Francis in this portion because that's how I remembered it. Starts with Francis eating The movie starts with Francis eating tons of chocolates.
He's just eating chocolates? He's just eating chocolates. Like his fingers and mouth are just covered with chocolate remnants.
I don't understand this. He's a bit of a simpleton and finds himself eating chocolate in the basement of a house.
You had him placed in a... an occurrence that happens like part of the story.
This is what's so wild to me, because when you hear my memory, let's just go on. So he's in the basement of the house eating chocolates for some reason. This house, by the way, that these people have moved into, these people meaning Jennifer Aniston and Francis, presumably.
They all live together.
For some reason. So he's eating his secret chocolates, and he knocks over a tiny four-leaf clover sitting atop a wooden crate. Little does he...
Oh my god, do you remember that?
Little does he know the leprechaun lays in wait, and that clover was the only thing keeping him from escaping. So at this point, I really don't remember much.
But that's like weirdly specific things that happen with things that have do not happen.
So as I'm telling my wife about the movie, she says that she's seen the movie, and I was like, really? I wasn't aware that she's watched any of the Leprechaun films. And she tells me that there's probably, that she thinks there's like a shower scene with Jennifer Aniston and the looming threat of the Leprechaun.
He is a bit of a horny goblin, but...
So after some investigation, it turns out that this was actually a bathroom scene from Leprechaun in the Hood.
Oh. She was like four movies ahead.
Anyway, some other guy, probably Aniston's boyfriend, is involved somehow. I'm pretty sure they just all sit around the house doing absolutely nothing for the middle part of the movie because I cannot remember anything or anyone venturing out into the city for... But for whatever reason, the leprechaun is seeking his gold. Oh, and at some point, the chocolate-eating dude found a single gold coin, and I think he ate it thinking it was a chocolate coin. Somehow, maybe
you were eating chocolate as you watched this movie.
Somehow, I made it made all sense with his chocolate eating, apparently. So he ate this coin thinking it was chocolate. Everyone is upset about this, and then this is when the leprechaun starts murdering.
She starts killing.
Who? I don't know, because as we've both seen the movie now, we know that only two people die in this film, and none of them are the main cast.
Well, there is a third, but he does not kill her. I am adamant about old lady O'Grady. She falls down the steps on her own free will.
completely skipped past my mind that I didn't even remember that part of the movie at all. So they also somehow, this is the other part, they also somehow figure out that they need to put him back in the crates, I guess, and maybe they somehow figure out that the clover is involved. And again, this part is really weird, where the leprechaun gets the coin out of the guy's belly. I don't know what the hell I remember, but kind of picture him sticking his hand in and just ripping it out. So basically killing him. And Jennifer Aniston has a shotgun, and they are outside. The leprechaun is quite taken by Aniston, too, I think, and wants her to be his bride, maybe? It's very, very blurry here. But then, this is what came to me. I said, oh, this is what happens. But maybe Francis isn't quite dead, and he has a slingshot because he is a simpleton, and he does simple things like love chocolate and have slingshots. So anyway, with his last breath, he slingshots the clover right into the leprechaun's mouth, and this causes him to blow up or something.
You have very specific memories of, like... plot point beats that curve, but they're just a tad bit twisted.
Mixed in with chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And I apparently erased this little boy in the film completely.
Wait until you hear how I remember this movie.
But yeah, that was my memory.
I would say pretty close to the end product for having seen it. What? 30 years ago? I don't know. As I sat down to put what I remember of this movie in writing, I tried to focus on how we actually get to the leprechaun even appearing in this movie. And this is the first thing I tried to narrow down. So, like, as in, why does he even show up to start terrorizing people? Mm-hmm. So I remember the crappy house that Jennifer Aniston's character goes to, and I had remembered that... For whatever reason, she inherited the house from her father, and it was a reluctant situation that she didn't want to be there, but due to the inheritance, had it like an obligation to stay there. upon like watching the movie again, absolutely no idea why I thought any of this. As she was renovating the house, the water had stopped working and she had to investigate the well to see what was going on. And during that investigation, she found the leprechaun's gold had clogged a pipe in the well. I don't know why there's a pipe in the well. As this begins, this then begins a cat and mouse chase of the leprechaun hunting Jennifer Aniston around the house for the majority of the movie. As a result, Jennifer keeps trying to get to her car like over and over and over again to escape, and indeed at one point runs the leprechaun over. The final two things that I remember, the first being very faint, was that to kill the leprechaun, you had to somehow get him to eat a piece of his own gold. And
like chocolate.
Yeah, like chocolate. I don't know why you'd have to trick him to eat his gold. And put it in. It's like giving a dog a pill. Like put it into other food so he eats it. And finally, I wrote down that I thought... He said it's sort of like a catchphrase, which is, I'm the leprechaun and I want me gold. As we'll see, I think a lot of my memories were, they're on the right track, and like you just became jumbled in a tangled mess. And in some alternate universe, that movie exists. So I'm almost completely correct. But to also be clear, I had zero memory of any other characters besides Jennifer Aniston and the leprechaun. So if prior to rewatching this, I was told that they were the only two people that appear in the movie, I would have believed that. I had absolutely zero memory of a single other character, especially her dad. I thought he was already dead and she had inherited the house. So in my mind, he was like already logically, my mind was already logically trying to remove other characters from the movie. And the dad doesn't even die in the movie. Yep. In my version, he was dead before it starts. Yep. No clue why I don't remember any other single character besides Aniston and the leprechaun. And I think I saw the movie maybe 20 years ago or so.
Yeah.
Now that we have set our base awareness of what we recall from this movie, could you take us through the leprechaun basics, Angel? Bring us to leprechaun school.
Well, the movie was written and directed by Mark Jones, and it stars Warwick Davis and a then unknown Jennifer Aniston. And, you know, we mentioned Mark Holton, who you might recognize as Pee-wee's nemesis. Mm-hmm. There's Roger. I already forgot their names. Robert, I think it is. Mm-hmm. Robert. Robert Gorman, who plays the young boy Alex, which we both completely forgot about. Mm-hmm. and Mark Holton plays, the character's name is Ozzy. Some dude that plays Nathan. I don't even know if this guy went on to do anything else after that.
Ken Olant. And I looked at his filmography, and I don't think I've seen a single other movie he's ever been in.
Yeah. And then, you know, the other, like, person that plays the dad and whatever. But that's... They're not important anymore.
Yeah, John Sandiford.
So the movie was released on January 8, 1993, although it was, I believe it was already completed by 1991. And the reason it took so long for it to be released was because Trimark was doing a crazy marketing campaign trying to get deals with some other companies to, I guess, help promote the movie. It says that they tried to partner with the NBA and the American Stock Exchange. And...
Why?
When they failed to secure funding, they then went to Subway and Domino's Pizza. I guess it helped because they did that, and I guess those franchises were able to spread the word about the movie. I mean, I wish I could remember what was going on. Like Subway was selling what, a sandwich, and then saying, "By the way, leprechauns." I don't know. I mean,
get a foot long. Here's Warwick Davis. As a leprechaun.
It's just, but apparently it worked because the movie's budget was a little under $1 million, or maybe about $1 million.
That's pretty amazing.
And the box office was $8.6 million. So it was a pretty successful film. The numbers.com give us this inflation adjusted box office numbers for those more 2023 inclined. The numbers would be 21 million.
Wow.
So yeah, the movie was successful enough that Trimark said, yeah, let's make a sequel.
But I suppose also in 2023, you'd be hard pressed to find a movie made for less than $1 million.
Well, you know, inflation. Let's see. Mark Jones was a TV writer. Prior to this, this was his first film. In fact, he wanted to, his thing was he wanted to make a movie, and he felt that a low budget horror was the easiest in for him. And he got the idea for this movie from Lucky Charms, actually. Lucky Charms commercial. He says, look at that leprechaun. What if we made it evil? I guess I could do the same thing and be like, hey, look at Cheerios. What if we make that bee evil, and then we get the bee movie. So I don't know. Mm-hmm.
What about like Tony the Tiger, and then you get Roar.
and so he started writing a movie like in 1985, I think it was, and I guess he didn't have it fully fleshed out because he kept making changes to it. It was originally a fully horror film, and then as it went on, it got more comedic elements to it. But then. I'm looking at a chapter of Warwick Davis's book Size Matters Not, where there's a chapter that talks about, you know, the whole leprechaun stuff, and he mentions that the film was originally meant to be a horror film for children.
Yeah, I saw an interview. He said the same exact thing. So, it was meant to be for children.
So I'm wondering, at what point did Mark Jones say, this is a horror film, and then start adding more comedic elements, and then saying, no, this is for children now. And mm-hmm. then, and Warwick signed on with this premise in mind, saying, yeah, it's for children, it's children's horror. And then Trimark, the people on Trimark, so in Davis's book, he talks about how he calls them the suits. So the corporate people from Trimark were basically on the set every day. They were very hands-on, watching where all of their money was going. And I guess I understand that because this was like their first official film that they were producing. So, I guess it's something they'd never done before. So this is, they're just like on the set all the time.
In the interview that I watched of him, he specifically said things that were not in the original script were the pogo stick death scene mm-hmm. of the shopkeeper. Trimark wanted that added in. And then the entire police chase and subsequent hunting of the officer by the leprechaun, those were all added in to specifically increase the gore factor and shoot for an R rating of the movie.
Yep. That's exactly what it was that the Trimark says, children's horror film is not going to sell. An adult one mm-hmm. will. So we want to make it more adult is what they said.
It can be difficult, though, to go to completely change, to flip a script from a children's horror movie to a R rating. Like, that can be quite the task.
It's also why nobody in the main cast really faces any true danger.
Because yeah, they had to add in characters that weren't meant to even be in there to kill them off.
Yeah. So on top of Mark Jones's wanting to make a leprechaun evil, you know, he's not totally insane because he figures, why would this film be popular? Well, he figured it's a leprechaun, he's a tiny creature, and it just so happens that tiny creature horror movies were becoming a big thing then. So Gremlins had come out, it was a big hit, so there's Ghoulies and Critters followed right after.
Critters, yep.
And it was actually Critters that he watched that he was like, yes, I like this film. I'm going to do something like this with some small thing. And that small thing is, I guess, a leprechaun.
And Critters is more on the comedy horror side of things more than true horror.
Yeah, I mean, most of those are. Ghoulies, Gremlins. There's The Munchies. Everyone should watch that one. That was definitely more on the comedy side. But the weird thing, though, is that I've got conflicting accounts. Like, some people, like, I've read else in places where Mark Jones started off as a full horror and then it went to more comedic. I also read elsewhere that it said that it was actually a horror film, but then He watched Warwick Davis's performance, who added some comedy to it, and then he decided, let's add even more comedy to it. So I don't know which one it is. Like, was it already comedy, or did Warwick add the comedy? Like, I don't know. I can't seem to get a straight answer there.
No one wants to tell the truth.
I found
Or also, nobody remembers. I saw an interview with Warwick. He specifically said he doesn't remember really anything specific of any of the movies. All of them, because they shot so close to each other, they just all mesh into one big movie for him.
Yep.
So he doesn't remember.
Yeah, maybe we should have these people on our show and talk about our failing memories.
Everybody has one.
I did find an Entertainment Weekly article that was actually had some interesting quotes in there, specifically by Mark Jones. There's always been a lot of talk about how Jennifer Aniston was like kind of denounces the movie or
doesn't want to acknowledge it happened.
Yeah. And so there's this bit that Mark Jones, you know, is talking about how, like, look, she was when they were casting for her character, Tori, they had a bunch of women, but she was like the one that like really stood out. There's something about her, he says. The claim was that he had to fight Trimark to have her in the film. And I see this quoted in the wiki as well, but I'm wondering, like, I don't understand what they had to fight about if she was an unknown. Like, I don't get it, but I think the Entertainment Weekly article kind of explains that the reason Mark Jones says that he had to fight is because that Trimark says, we'll let you take Jennifer, but you have to bleach her hair blonde. Because they thought blonde-haired California girls were sexy.
And I suppose they make her a California girl.
They do. But he says, this is what he says. He says he'd do it. Yeah, we're going to do it. He calls Jennifer. He says, we got good news and bad news. The good news is you're in the film. The bad news is we got to bleach your hair blonde. And she's like, no, I don't want to do it. And he's like, no, it's fine. We're just not going to do it. We're just going to film. We're going to start filming and we're not going to have you blonde. There's nothing they could do about it at that point.
I was going to say, I don't remember her hair being blonde.
No.
That movie.
No. But according to a Trimark founder, Mark Ammon, he says, I don't remember any of that. I agree with Mark Jones. They thought, I watched the video of Jennifer Aniston auditioning and it was great. Like,
he just didn't want to admit it. He loved blondes.
I mean, again, it's like, it was so long ago. Who could remember, right? Another funny thing about, well, in the same article, Mark Jones says that he later bumped into Jennifer Aniston 3 years after Friends had been on air. And she goes up to him and says, you know, there's been articles sometimes that I don't like. I don't look at Leprechaun fondly. I just want to tell you, I've been misquoted and it's not true. It was a lot of fun. And Mark Jones says to her, Jennifer, if I ever have the success you have, I'm going to deny I directed Leprechaun. So don't worry about it.
Oh, that's funny.
And another funny thing is from Warwick's book, he talks about when he met Mark Jones after agreeing to do the movie. So this is straight from his book. It says, once we were in California, Sam is Warwick's wife. Sam and I met Mark Jones at his house in the Hollywood Hills. It says, it was a hot September day and he put on a very pleasant lunch. Mark showed us around his house. He was especially proud of the fact that he had a real fireplace. Let me show you how good it looks when it's lit, he said enthusiastically. No, really, you don't have to. But I insist. I've never had an English person stay with me before, so I've never had an excuse to light it.
What's his reasoning there? Only English people like fireplaces?
He says, I'm still not sure what he meant by that exactly. But I let him start the fire, and the house quickly turned into a baker's oven. He says, is it me or is there a slight smoke haze in here? And then the smoke alarm went off.
And was it not opened up?
Mark says, oh, geez, that's embarrassing. He goes, why? Because the alarm's connected straight to the fire department. So they got a bunch of firemen showing up minutes later asking what's going on. Where's the fire? And why would anyone want to light an open fire on a balmy September evening in California? And you guessed it. It turned out that Mark had not realized that he was supposed to open something called a chimney vent. He was so deeply embarrassed that our first meeting had turned out the way it had, and so was I. But despite being a little char-grilled and a bit worried about Mark's sanity, I signed up for the movie.
I want a fireplace now just so I can show people.
Only
check out this fireplace. It's awesome.
Only if they're English, though.
English, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of funny things in his book. There's he talked about, like, when he's on an airplane, that he actually needs leg room because of the fact that the way his legs, that they don't bend. Because mm-hmm. he's short and he's sitting on the back of the chair, his legs shoot straight out. So the people in front of him, they bring their chairs down, and then he can't get out. Mm-hmm. So he talks about how he's always, like, trying to get an upgrade because he's always flying economy. And they're always just like, oh, sorry, we're full. And he's looking at the business class. I'm like, there are empty seats there. Like, what are they talking about?
and just in case somebody boards while in air, we have to keep that seat open.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this is a lot of funny stuff in this book. It's actually interesting, though, because he's also had some issues with starting a family. He had a son it was born September 11th, 1991. So, weird date, first of all. Mm-hmm. And I believe 9 days later, the son died because he had inherited a lot of Warwick's genes and the wife's genes. And they both have dwarfism, but they have a different kind of dwarfism. His wife has like the one that is most common, and Warwick has a more rare kind. And so that son they had inherited both genes that he couldn't survive. So they were devastated from that loss. And it was at that point, and Warwick hadn't had a lot of work. This was after Willow. So he was already thinking about quitting acting. And it was when he got that call to do Leprechaun, and he read the script, and he's like, I'm always playing these good guys, I get to play the villain. And he's like, we're gonna get to go to California, maybe it'll get us out of this funk. And so he agreed, and he took his wife to California so that they could do the film. So, you know, even if people want to crap on the movies, it's like it made his life better,
that, yeah, very much so, and then turned into a whole franchise.
Yep.
Only other thing I want to add is some more background information for Mark Jones, because it sort of adds into, I think, how it leads into the comedic nature of Leprechaun.
Yeah.
Because he was a writer of like a who's who of older cartoons, like your favorite Captain Caveman. You're always going on about Captain Caveman. Super Friends, Mr. Magoo, Scooby and Scrappy Doo,
Scoops.
Heathcliff. Scoops. Heathcliff. Your favorite non-Garfield cat, Heathcliff. A series very dear to your heart because of very special reasons I'm sure we'll discuss later on. Police Academy, the animated series. You know, I remember watching that.
I have seen some of that, yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I specifically have memories of watching it on TV. No idea what channel this was on. But I remember it, and then it just, like, disappeared from my memory, and then I was reading this about what he wrote on.
Yep.
It's like, oh, Police Academy, the animated series, I forgot that even existed.
Yep.
And it brightened my day. And then he went on to do live-action shows such as The A-Team, Alf. I know you love Alf.
Oh, I love Alf.
And, and yeah, this was his first feature film. A lot of comedic in nature cartoons and live-action, A-Team, not the most serious of shows. Alf, very serious. I remember Alf had like a TV movie. I was, for some reason, I don't know how old I was, because I can't remember when it came out, sometime in the 90s, but I was really excited about the Alf movie coming on. And I specifically remembering my family was out somewhere and wanting to get home to watch the Alf movie. I don't know why. Then I watched it. I was like, that was okay. Prior to the Leprechaun, are those a lot of the things that you had seen with no idea that Mark Jones had even put his hand in?
I don't remember the A-Team much, but I do remember watching it. And I think mm-hmm. I would watch it because my mom would watch it. So I would always be sitting, you know, watching TV with her. A-Team comes on. There were, yeah, Scooby. Yeah, I mean, come on. Who doesn't watch that? And, of course, the Police Academy series. I think I remember that. It's funny because that reminds me, like, I watched all the things that I wanted to see. Like, not I wanted to see. I watched all the cartoons of the movies that I've watched. You know, the Ghostbusters one. The Attack of the Killer Tomatoes cartoon.
Oh, yes. I remember that. I don't know why I watched it, but I watched it.
Exactly. The Beetlejuice cartoon.
Yep.
I mean, every movie, it's like, it's a cartoon now. I'm watching it.
Here's like 13 episodes of a show, and then we're going to cancel it.
Yep.
If you're lucky. The only other thing that I saw production-wise that I thought was actually really interesting, this movie shot in about 6 weeks. I think it started late November and ends, or no, late October, ends early December. Like, not too long of a shoot for a movie, I would think, but I suppose they didn't need too long. A lot of the action took place in a house or outside the house.
Well, from what I read from that chapter in Warwick's book, it's actually budget related. Like, the smaller your budget, the less time you have to film. So, yeah, that's why they filmed it in 6 weeks, you said?
6 weeks, yeah. So how about the cast of this movie? So we mentioned pretty much the main players in it, but how familiar are you with the cast of this movie? So starting at the top with Warwick Davis as Leprechaun, how familiar are you with his work?
Here's the thing. I loved Willow as a kid.
Oh, yeah, a favorite.
But when
absolute favorite.
But when I watched Leprechaun, I didn't know that was him in as the Leprechaun.
Oh, okay. But, I guess so. But I mean, how would you? Hey, it's complete.
Yeah, I'm not reading. Covering. I'm not reading the credits. Come on, I'm a kid.
I think it took like 3 hours to get in makeup.
Yep. And like 40 minutes to take it off. Brutal.
And then Jennifer Aniston, nobody knew.
No.
As Tori.
She was apparently a uncredited dancer in oh, I already forgot what it was. Some film.
Premise of the show proving itself in real time. And Ken Olant as Nathan. You didn't remember his name as you were going over the cast.
I still don't remember. You had to say it again. I'm like, oh yeah, him.
Robert Gorman as Alex.
I mean, no.
Oh,
he was in a few things I saw, but I don't remember him specifically.
When I rewatched this movie for this, I instantly recognized him. So Robert was a staple of my childhood, as he was in Mr. Nanny starring Hulk Hogan. And I watched that movie like way too much because I was a super mark for Hulk Hogan. Mm-hmm. And he was also a supporting actor in Rookie of the Year, which I watched for some reason numerous times. Like kids in sports movies, I watched those all the time as a kid. And Rookie of the Year, if you don't remember, is a sixth grader plays in the MLB after a shoulder accident makes his tendons super tight so he can throw the ball really fast. And Gary Busey is like somehow his father figure to the main character in that movie. And I look back and like, I watched the trailers like, Gary Busey was in that movie? He seemed so normal, but it was acting. And Rookie of the Year also should not be confused with Little Big League, where a kid becomes the owner of the Minnesota Twins, another kid baseball movie. Dueling kid baseball movies that came out. And then we have John Sanderford as the dad. I think JD, I just wrote down as the dad. I think his name is JD. And I'm pretty sure that he played Zach Morris's dad in Saved by the Bell.
As soon as you said that, I'm like, I see something in my mind. Maybe.
When I started the movie for a few moments, and I stopped like paying attention to the movie because I kept thinking, I thought he was the husband in Hellraiser, and I kept going, is that Larry? I was like, and that can't be him.
For a split second when he first appeared on screen, I'm like, what? And I'm like, no, that's not him.
So let's get into some more finer details of this movie. So right out of the gate, this movie did something I'm not positive I've ever seen in a horror movie before. The movie starts with the leprechaun just waltzing down some steps. Look at his gold. So we are greeted in the first few seconds. We see the big bad evil creature in the opening shot. What do you think of that?
The fact that I was watching this movie in regards to how I remembered it, I was pretty shocked because I was like,
"Where's
wait.
The chocolate?"
I was like, "Whoa, that!" And then I was like, "Wait, we see the leprechaun right off the bat."
Mm-hmm. That threw me so off. I was like, "No way!"
I'm like, "Wait, what's he doing? How did he get captured?" I had so many questions running in my mind already. And even then, I'm like, "Was he captured then?" Because I don't. It just goes. The next scene is just O'Grady, and it's like, "What?"
Yeah, that must have been pre-meeting O'Grady. You just. In a well or something, counting his money. The leprechaun just walks down some stairs and looks at his gold, muttering to himself that anyone who messes with his gold won't live through the night. So besides that being a lie, as lots of people mess with him deeply and with his gold, live through the night. So it felt a tad bit underwhelming for an opening shot to me. So if you could, Angel... I want to be retroactively wowed. What would be your top three opening shots to this movie that would include the leprechaun being in the establishing shot?
I'll give you in the order of details. So, for number three, we see a close-up of a shoe buckle. We see a close-up of a hat. We see a close-up of gnarly teeth. And then we only see grubby hands grabbing gold coins and counting them, fade to black.
So it's not a full body reveal.
Mm-hmm. Classic, you know, standard.
Uh-huh. I like that. It keeps him mysterious.
Yeah.
But still establishes him.
Yeah. So let's up the ante. So I said, well, let me subvert that, right?
Subvert expectations?
So number two, we see the leprechaun living his life like a normal leprechaun. He wakes up, he gets showered, he gets dressed, he brushes his teeth and says good morning to his leprechaun wife. He then sets off to his dungeon to count his gold, knowing full well he will never have to work a day in his life.
I was thinking a much more drastic change as you're like talking about the going about his daily routine. The first thing I thought of was the Dawn of the Dead remake where the nurse... It's just like coming home and going through her day, and then the zombie apocalypse starts. I thought that was going to be that subversion of expectations.
Yeah, maybe like we're just watching O'Grady and his wife doing some stuff, and in the background, you just see the leprechaun walking through, getting some coins, and walking back. And that's all we see of him. For the number one opening scene, it starts off this way. A construction yard. Men are loading a big crate into a freshly built pen. The leprechaun grumbles. We see shots of his face between the bars of the crate.
This is Jurassic Park.
They put the gate in the pen and begin lifting the flap to let the leprechaun in the pen. When suddenly he rams himself into the flap with the flap with such a force that the crate pulls away and one of the men falls. The other men scramble when the fallen man gets pulled in before the other men try to keep him from getting sucked in. The man overseeing it all shoots, "Shoot him! Shoot!" But it's too late. The man slips through the other's hands and the leprechaun has a new toy to slash with his shoe buckle.
So, weirdly enough, in this movie, he's like susceptible to gunfire, but it hurts him. It slightly kills him. It temporarily kills him, and yeah. Then he comes back.
Yeah,
I was very confused by the gunfire in this movie.
I don't think it was confusing if you think about it in like in video game terms.
Does he respawn?
I mean, I feel like you know, he still lives in this physical world. He's not impervious to bullets, but he also can't die. I guess
mm-hmm. The opening scene where O'Grady like. Pulls out a handgun and starts shooting him behind the box. Like he just gets shot and falls over. And then he just picks up the leprechaun's yep. dead body and places him in a box. It was so funny.
Even before he dies, he's like, "I will be back," or something like that.
You can't kill me forever. Yeah. Something like that. The tone of this movie was something that I kind of forgot. I have, for whatever reason, more familiarity with the sequels in my memory than the original. So I know the sequels really amped up the campiness, but I forgot how much this original movie feels like a Tales from the Crypt episode almost. And I don't know if it came from, as you mentioned earlier, the production budget, the sets, and the lighting, or if it was just intended to be presented that way. And maybe it was, with the original intent of being a more of a children's film. But it really jumped out at me. Did you get that same feeling of, like, this is Tales from the Dark Side or Tales from the Crypt?
I mean, I didn't think that, but now that you say that, I do get that sense. It does feel like it was more like a made-for-TV movie.
Like when O'Grady got out of the limousine and, like, walked up to his wife, could have been a shot-for-shot episode of a Tales from the Crypt episode. Just the acting, the lighting, everything.
And, like, at the end when he has his heart attack or something, you can hear, like, a narrator saying, don't, you know, mess with leprechauns or something like that in the credits roll.
Oftentimes in movies with some sort of supernatural entity, we don't really get a sense of how to expect that creature will interact with the world. I think this movie did a good job of setting the rules and expectations of what it meant for the leprechaun to be a physical being, minus the gunshots. So we know his motivation is his gold above all else. It is made clear from the beginning that he is weakened by four-leaf clovers and that he has an unhealthy obsession with shoes. He's a cobbler by trade, of course, I think is what he says. A lot of this information was dumped pretty early on. So do you think it's a good idea to let so much of the evil creature be known early on, especially with establishing shot? Or should there have been a bit more mystery? Like, doesn't conventional horror movie making tell us show as little as possible? The Jaws technique?
It was interesting because I watched the film and there's nothing about it that was like, oh, this is frightening. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if maybe that was it. I didn't think about it at the time. I'm wondering if it's because we know everything about this thing. And in fact, like, it makes the audience frustrated because Ozzy's like, there's a leprechaun. And everyone's like, it's not a leprechaun, idiot. And it's like, the audience is going to be like, yes, it is. We've been told this 1,000 times. Why doesn't anyone believe him? But I keep thinking back to, maybe because this was originally meant for children, you want to just show the thing right away because children are going to get scared of something that they see that looks ugly versus not showing anything because they're not going to comprehend the concept of like tone and slow reveal kind of thing.
Yeah, because you're already familiarized with him from the opening of the movie.
Yeah, like, you know, he's the bad guy. He's the one you got to watch out for. There, the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no... no gray area, nothing. Anything you wanted to specifically discuss before we go over our highs and lows of the leprechaun?
Yes. I want to highlight some quotes. Well, maybe a quote from the movie where Jennifer Aniston's character, Tori, she's talking to the guy painting the house, Nathan.
To Nathan, yeah.
And he makes a comment about 50s or something, 50s wife. I don't remember that part. And she says, this is the 90s. Women are treated equal. Just let that sink in. I think it's interesting that her character is quite possibly vegan. I know she mentioned
nonviolent. She's a pacifist.
Nonviolent. She doesn't eat animals, she says. And she's an environmentalist. I forget what it was she asked about, but she says, is this biodegradable? So I think that's interesting. I think Ozzy eating chocolates was actually him chewing gum that I mangled in my brain.
Does he chew gum a lot? I don't remember that at all.
No, he just chewed gum like in the first shot that he's in. Mm.
And you hung on to that point. You made it a focal point in the movie.
Chewing and chewing. I mean, it was the gum that they attached the clover to, so
Oh, yes, they do. Did they pull it from his bloody body?
He did it. So he never dies. He stayed alive. Mm-hmm. He was scratched up pretty bad, but he lives.
I don't remember. Did he just pass the gum to Alex?
I don't think he passed anything. He just had gum, I guess. Oh. It was weird. I don't get why he is so frustrating. But we can talk about that later. There is a part when they're painting and Ozzy gets paint all over himself. And he's like, his whole face is covered. And suddenly he goes into the basement. That's how he accidentally lets loose the leprechaun. But he's very clean for getting paint all over him.
Just completely not dumped in
minutes
paint.
Ago.
He washed off really well.
And the leprechaun wants to shine shoes. There's so many things about, like, this movie has, it's not about like big things. It's like the tiny little details. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of mention of Lucky Charms.
He eats them.
He eats them. He doesn't like them. And then at the end, Alex is right before he shoots the slingshot. He says the most witty line ever. Fuck you, Lucky Charms. Like, okay, cool.
Mark Jones really wanted to hammer in that he got this idea from the Lucky Charms box.
Yeah, it's like, this is, we're trying to kill that leprechaun in everyone's memory, I guess. The pogo scene was funny. Yeah, I think the fact that the leprechaun killed more people that were only like barely touched the gold or didn't even touch the gold at all.
Oh, and like the cop had nothing. Like, he did nothing to the leprechaun. He just
killed him. I did say earlier that there's only those two deaths, but I forgot that he does end up killing O'Grady later.
Oh, yeah, doesn't he, like, fall through the...
The elevator?
The elevator, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he's like, he finally got me.
And I wrote a question down. I'm like, was this... Before all of this happened, was this leprechaun just terrorizing Ireland all the time? Like, I don't understand. He just popped up out of nowhere, and now suddenly he's out and about doing things to people. But I'm like, before this, what was he doing? Was he just killing people still? Like, I don't get it.
I guess if they didn't mess with his gold.
He mentions that with his gold, he becomes stronger. So it's like, if he's got his gold and he's powerful, what's he doing then? Is he just sitting on his ass counting his gold? Mm-hmm. He's like, all this power and I'm not using it because I got my gold. But the moment you take it from me, I'm going to kill and then kill people for fun.
Yep. I suppose he sold his soul for the gold, I think, is one of the lines that he says.
He did
so
say that.
He was fine with his gold. He's got the gold. He's good.
Him riding a tricycle was funny.
Comically sped up.
Yeah. I think my favorite is him feeling up Jennifer Aniston's legs and her saying, I know what the caress of a man's hands feels like. And her dad's like, what?
You do? And then Nathan's like, you would have let me caress your legs?
Yeah, because she thought it was Nathan doing it.
And the dad is adamant it's a cat.
That whole scene
or a possum.
Was so funny. Anyway, that's all I got.
Mm-hmm. So how about the highs and lows of the movie? What were your highest highs?
Well, besides those parts that I was mentioning, I think I understand why Mark Jones wanted Jennifer Aniston. I think she did a great job, actually. And I actually thought the movie was going to go the Alien route, where she was going to be like the one that comes out doing all the heroic stuff. Like, she did do some stuff. She's the one that gave the gold back to the leprechaun. She then drove off to find O'Grady and then dealt with the leprechaun there and found her way back. But then after that, she kind of was just like, you know, the winning move was the damn boy, Alex. So it's like, and then after that, Nathan sets the well on fire and it blows up.
It just explodes.
It just explodes. And I'm like, oh man, like, I thought they were going to, but I thought she did a great job, actually. And I don't see why she shouldn't. She should be proud, I think, of this film.
Yeah, she did a great job. I really enjoyed her in it.
And of course, Warwick. He's great. He's great. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad he took the job. Job.
Regardless of the fireplace incident. For me, the majority of the film was a high. It is campy and silly, and I think it is self-aware of that. I think a lot of movies miss the mark because they try to be too mature or realistic, and then they fail to deliver on that end. I'm looking at you, Zack Snyder. I dislike the idea that movies need to be dark and gritty and be like leaving little story threads that weave back together at the end of the film to explain some huge thing that the viewer missed at the start to prove it's a masterwork in writing. Like, Angel, damn it, sometimes I just want to see a leprechaun harassing people with a go-kart with a pitchfork welded to the front of it like it did in this movie, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
He flipped a car with it.
T-boned it, right?
There's a part where he's ransacking the house looking for the gold, and then he finds some shoes and he like compulsively brings them to the kitchen and starts cleaning them mid ransacking, and I loved it. I thought it was great. They also throw shoes at him to distract him when Tori escapes, and it brought joy to my heart each time the leprechaun, he audibly panicked. Each time a new shoe got tossed at him, he panicked to run over and start cleaning it. It was amazing. There is a absolutely hilarious bear trap scene where Nathan just gets caught in a bear trap. I audibly like yelled. I was like, bear trap. It's so funny. And the leprechaun lunges onto Nathan's leg in front of everybody. I think that's his reveal to the group. And he just starts biting his leg.
It's like a little gremlin. Like,
And everyone's just hitting the leprechaun to make him stop. It was perfect. The bear trap. I was like, oh my God. He set a bear trap out for people. For me, a lot of what works in the movie is the comedy. So for instance, and you mentioned this too, the subtleness of a lot of it, there was a very subtle background gag I loved and I thought was very clever. So all the characters are working together to paint the house prior to the leprechaun being released, and they're painting the house that's like horribly blue, horribly ugly blue. And I'm quite positive they're using the wrong paint and they're just doing a horrible job. It looks so bad. And then they are painting the storm shutters a bright red color. But one of the storm shutters has a broken hinge and it's just hanging a bit off the window. So they paint the shutter without fixing it. And they only paint the area around the broken shutter. So if one day Tori's dad figures he's going to fix the shutter, there's a significant portion of the house behind that never got painted. And I don't know about you, Angel, but I think that's funny. They were such bad painters, and that's what they were there for, was to paint the house.
wasn't their name like three guys who paint or something like that? Yes.
And one's a boy. One's a tiny boy. Yep. Almost all the reviews from when this came out just crapped on the writing, but I thought it was fine. I recall one of the reviews that stated that basically nothing the leprechaun said is funny, but in my opinion, that's bogus. Every time he says something and laughs and then either runs towards someone or runs away from someone, it made me smile each time. Just his cackle.
Yep.
Like, it appeared that Warwick was having a blast making this, and if you want to get blasted while watching this movie, take a sip of alcohol each time the leprechaun laughs. You will likely be passed out by the end. He is just constantly laughing.
Yep.
And then finally, a last high for me is the recurring gag of the leprechaun popping out of confined spaces. So first, he pops out of Old Man O'Grady's suitcase. Then the crate he was trapped in pops out of that. The safe in the store where Ozzy and Alex take the coin, pops out of that. Then from under the hood of the car, when they open it, see why it's not working, pops out of that. And then finally, from inside the fridge, pops out of that. Like, did you notice how many times he was, like, jack-in-the-boxing, jumping out at people?
Yeah, it actually, I remember thinking something like, wait, if he could do that, why is he, like, not in the house just killing them all? I don't know.
He can clearly, like, teleport places, and at one point it shows him teleporting to the back of the truck, but then he has rollerblades on. Why didn't he just teleport into the truck?
Oh, and didn't, like, a hand of his come out of the phone when it ran?
Yeah, like Freddy Krueger style. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that was...
It touches her face.
Yeah, instead of a tongue, it was his hand.
Yeah. So what are some lows from this movie for you?
I guess one of the lows for me was that because, as we mentioned, this movie was originally a horror film for kids. I don't even know what that's supposed to mean.
Like, are you afraid of the dark type stuff? I don't know.
Part of the issue I had was that there's only like few deaths and they were all like characters that I'm like, why did they get killed? This doesn't make sense. Yeah. Like, none of the main cast, the only one that gets really severely hurt is Ozzy at the end.
With a shoe buckle. Slashing him with a shoe buckle.
I feel like the camera was on him slashing a bit too long. He's just there going slash, slash, slash. And it's like, what's...
Ozzy should have been like completely mauled to death. The amount of those slashes.
I don't know. I was just like, either get rid of those death scenes and leave it like a kid's horror, whatever that's supposed to mean. Or add more. It's weird.
Nathan could have died.
Yeah, he didn't really do much.
JD, the dad, could have died.
Yeah.
He was effectively written out of the movie when his hand got bit.
Yeah, that's his death, I guess. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, I got bit. Go to the hospital. The end. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess that kind of seems like childrenish, I guess. Like, people don't die. They just go to the hospital.
Just go to the hospital.
I feel like they... Like, talking about, like you said, like, Nathan could have died. Like, I feel like there's characters there that I'm like, why are they here? They don't really add much. And again, I was, as I said earlier, I was disappointed that they didn't make Tori basically the Ripley of Leprechaun.
Overall, Alex's character, I don't think they needed him.
Yeah.
But it makes sense if it was a kid's movie to have a kid.
Yeah. Exactly.
The way that the gold appears to Ozzy and Alex just did not sit well with me at all. It didn't make any sense. So the leprechaun is searching for his gold in the house because old man O'Grady took it when he was in Ireland, which he had in an urn to presumably smuggle it back into the country from Ireland. After all that, there's a rainbow that shows up, and then the gold just appears in a broken down car. I did not understand that at all. Did this annoy you too, or did I just miss like a vital part of the story?
I wasn't annoyed, but I feel like I watched the whole movie like trying to be completely objective, but I did a thought crossed my mind, like, why is there a car here with gold in it? I remember, because
that's not where he put it.
I remember thinking, wait, where did O'Grady put it then? I'm like, did he hide it in this car? I'm not sure. And then I started thinking, we should have learned how O'Grady captured the leprechaun to get his gold. Why would he? Mm-hmm. Does it make sense?
Yeah, because he said you have to capture the leprechaun to make him give you his gold.
Yeah.
So somehow he captured him, and then he put him in his luggage and brought him to North Dakota.
North Dakota.
Where they live. I swear at one point O'Grady says he's going to put it in the well, but maybe I'm misremembering that.
I thought he said that too, now that I think about it.
So I don't know why it just magically appears in the car when there's a rainbow. Like, does the rainbow teleport the gold to wherever it ends? And why the leprechaun? Why his gold?
Why his gold? Because it's a rainbow. Come on.
Is it a leprechaun or the leprechaun?
So actually, this brings up a high that I didn't mention because I just thought of it, which is, I think filming, having it set in North Dakota is actually a good idea because... You don't often see movies take place in these places. It's either L.A. or New York.
Toria thinks she's in New Mexico. Dad's like, we're not in New Mexico. Yep. Another low for me, just in general, the song Won't You Be My Four-Leaf Clover played multiple times. And each time I heard it, I hated it. I absolutely hated the song. It was so on the nose.
I don't remember the song at all, actually. I feel like it just... faded in my out of memory.
Yep. So it plays when they are at two times I remember. I think it might have been at least three. It plays when they are driving to the house in their Jeep. It's playing there.
I remember and then a when song they're playing there.
Yep. And then when they are in the diner, it's playing as her and Nate are having the discussion. But it is such a hokey song about "Won't You Be My Four-Leaf Clover."
Yep.
But the biggest low for me is the entire character of Ozzy. I just don't understand the purpose of having him be the way he is. And I think it puts the actor in a bad spot to try and act out this simplistic man-child. There's a part where Alex mentions to Ozzy that they can use the money to fix his brain.
Yep.
And yep. I seriously think the single reason they made him be the way he is so that they could explain why he ends up accidentally eating a gold coin. I think that's the only reason. Did you have any issues with Ozzy?
I guess not. I actually think he didn't play it simple enough. Like, I think he should have been eating chocolates.
Just his face covered in chocolate.
Because I understand. I mean, it's, you know, it's an outdated trope. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Stephen King does it all the time where you have this, like, simple person that somehow knows more than the regular folk, I guess. But Ozzy's character, you know, is like he didn't go full.
He didn't do Simple Jack.
Simple Jack, exactly.
So I suppose, however, with Ozzy, he was vindicated because he did actually see a leprechaun when no one believed him. But there is a segment where Ozzy mentions seeing a UFO. Do you think he saw the UFO too?
I mean, I don't see why not. It just means it's an unidentified flying object. So
we do have a leprechaun in space movie. So
did he see a leprechaun or the leprechaun spaceship?
And then one more just foul, overall foul for me, is the shotgun they have is in full-on God mode and never has to be reloaded. It's whenever I see that in a movie, it brings me out of the moment. I can suspend disbelief, but when that occurs, when they got the cheat mode on, I'm just like, ah, no.
Leprechaun's fine, but infinite ammo, no way.
No, it's too much. So overall, how do you think our memories fared in this movie?
I think if you combine our memories, we can have a really good movie.
Just dead dads eating chocolate, and we got the rest of the movie.
Yep. And no children.
Erased them out. Alex. I love how I had no memory of any other character. And I think potentially the movie may have worked too if there were no other characters. Yeah. Just her. How about then, to wrap everything up, if we could make this movie a little bit better? With our memories, maybe we did. But one way to amp up a possible better movie is to have a dream cast for a movie. So how would you have casted Leprechaun? So who would have been your Leprechaun?
I mean, I'm not even gonna make you wait for it. I'm keeping Warwick Davis.
Me too. No one else could have been that role, I don't think. Except Gary Oldman.
Or Hugh Grant.
Yep. Oompa Loompa. How about then Tori? Who would have play Tori?
So a bit controversial here, but I also would not have changed it. She's staying Jennifer Aniston.
I'm in the same controversial boat. I kept Jennifer Aniston as Tori.
So basically we agree everyone else was bad.
So starting with presumably our changes here. Nathan.
All right.
With Ken Olant.
So, right off the bat, I'm changing Nathan to, wait for it, Noah Hathaway. Now.
Who?
Exactly. You might not remember him, but he played Atreyu in The Neverending Story. And he would have been around 20 years old when this movie was filmed, around the same age as Jennifer Aniston. Perfect love interest. And he also played Harry Potter Jr. in the movie Troll before the real Harry Potter movies came out. I think he would have done a fine job as Nathan.
All of a sudden, I had this thought that you would have had the guy played Rufio.
Could, well, I mean, it could make another if he turns on the role. Mm-hmm. Noah says no thanks.
Your second person's Rufio.
Rufio. And his name is Rufio. Exactly.
For me, I went because the moment I saw Ken Olent in this movie, he seemed like Kevin Bacon light. So I think I would have just went with Kevin Bacon.
Really? Wow.
Just the way his hair was coiffed, all that. He looked very much like Tremors, Kevin Bacon.
Well, didn't Tremors like come out a few years before that?
I think so. Around the same time.
Around the same time.
So he got it. I mean, he was too big. He was in Tremors. He was
too big. Already, yep.
Get that Tremors money. How about then Alex, the young boy?
The young boy, hot off the heels of Home Alone. This is Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, my God. Oh, that would be funny.
Yeah, he's a slingshot. I mean, it fits. Everything fits.
The slingshot. Full on Dennis the Menace. The slingshot. The kid that played Dennis the Menace, I have no idea who that was.
Yeah, nobody
in
does.
The live action.
Nobody does.
For me, I kept Gorman. I kept Robert Gorman as Alex. I thought he did a fine job. I liked him when I was a kid. Loved him. He was in Mr. Nanny.
Well, he can handle your finances now.
Yep.
Or something or other.
How about then, finally, in the spot of Ozzy, do you keep him or change him?
So I ended up changing him for a little-known actor at the time who was probably seeking roles to to avoid getting pigeonholed in this character. So he says, I'm going to take this role because he would accept it. Sean Penn.
A young Sean Penn?
A young Sean Penn.
Can you imagine that, that cast? So you got Sean Penn, you got Jennifer Aniston in Leprechaun, mm-hmm. Atreyu.
And not only that, but then we have Sean Penn.
And then Macaulay Culkin.
Then we have Sean Penn and Jennifer Aniston showing up in Friends years later.
He was in Friends?
Yeah.
I guess he was, wasn't he?
Yeah. See, it's perfect.
It's a circle. I went with the antagonist to his what he believed to be the protagonist in Pee-wee's movie. I went in the form of Ozzy. I went with Paul Rubens.
Just straight up Pee-wee.
I think he would have been amazing as Ozzy.
Oh my God, as Pee-wee.
with the whole suit and, yep. And everything. Yep. No, not that far. Separate him.
Yeah. I think he totally would.
He plays man-child well.
Yes, he does.
Although, can you imagine if it was Pee-wee doing his laugh to the leprechaun's laugh, and they have like a laugh-off?
My favorite Pee-wee role is him as a vampire in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I watched a little clip of In Memoriam of him, and I completely forgot he was in that movie. And then he was also in, is it the TV version of What We Do in the Dark?
Was he? Yeah, I think yeah, because they have like a bunch of vampires gather mm-hmm. at some point, and yeah. Then they get a lot of people that played vampires or something, yeah.
So, there we have it. There we have it, the memory of Leprechaun. I think we nailed it.
We nailed it! You can find me gold on Instagram at Deja Movie Podcast, and maybe you won't die? Try as they will and try as they might. Who steals me gold won't live through the night. We nailed it.